Good morning, brothers and sisters. We do look once again at the sixth commandment this morning in Exodus 20, verse 13. One of the reasons I love going through the commandments with you each week is because it gives me more reasons to look to Jesus. And I hope that as you consider these commandments with me, that you will be thinking the same thing as well. So we're going to consider the sixth reason to look to Jesus here in the sixth commandment. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's law. In Exodus 20, verse 13, we read, "You shall not murder." This morning we look at what the sixth commandment forbids. We'll read from the larger catechism here. It says, "The sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away the life of ourselves or of others, except in case of public justice, lawful war, or necessary defense, the neglecting or withdrawing the lawful and necessary means of preservation of life, sinful anger, hatred, envy, desire of revenge, all excessive passions, distracting cares, immoderate use of meat, drink, labor, and recreations, provoking words, oppression, quarreling, striking, wounding, and whatsoever else tends to the destruction of the life of any." I like reading the larger catechism here because it helps us to see the broadness of how these commandments speak to us. I can't cover all of them with you, unfortunately. I can't cover every detail, so I always select a couple of things that I want to look at. But to summarize what the larger catechism laid out for us, it says the sixth commandment forbids murder, suicide, withdrawing the means necessary to preserving life, sinful anger, hatred, envy, lustful passions, quarreling and violence, and then I threw it in at the end, anything else that tends to the destruction of life seems to be those other things. But this morning I want to consider with you what our Lord Jesus Christ says about murder in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verse 21, we hear these words, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Jesus quotes the sixth commandment here, and he warns of the judgment that is to come upon those who break this commandment. And he speaks about the civil penalties. Those who kill will be in danger of judgment. But then he tells us that there is a much greater judgment to fear, and it is the judgment of Almighty God when we hate our brother and are angry against them. And what I want us to see here is that anger, according to our Lord Jesus Christ, has very dangerous and destructive effects. It leads to judgment, but it also hurts, and it leads to murder, often physical murder. Anger is dangerous, anger is destructive, and it is not a victimless sin. First of all, it affects us when we are angry. It corrupts us, but it also affects others around us. James 1 warns us. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." The anger of man does not produce God's righteousness. It only destroys. It produces destruction. One of the most common ways we express anger is, of course, in our words. The scriptures speak regularly to how dangerous the tongue is, how powerful a tool it is. James, later on in the same epistle, he goes on and he talks about how this tongue is just a small little part of the body. It's seemingly insignificant. All it can do is produce these oral audible sounds, but somehow it is such a dangerous thing. He says the tongue is a little member, it boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Just like you can start a blazing forest fire with the smallest little match, so the tongue can destroy many lives. It says it defiles the whole body, sets on fire, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. All the animals in this earth we found some way to tame, but the tongue is yet to be put under control and put in a cage. Each of us, we get a little nervous when somebody gets something rather dangerous. If a young child gets a power tool, a drill of some kind, and starts running around the house chasing their brothers or sisters, we immediately take it away and we get very nervous about that. And I remember my dad, when he was teaching me how to shoot guns when I was younger, the basic rule was you never point the gun at somebody else, even if it's not loaded. You just don't point it, especially if it's loaded. But you never would point in the direction of someone else. Because we understood that the gun itself was such a potentially dangerous tool that we took even more special care that we would not use it wrongly. Or if you see a dangerous driver on the road veering from lane to lane, you're going to speed past them or go back a little further. You're going to try to get around them and as far away from them as possible because we're trying to avoid destruction. Do we think about the tongue as just that dangerous? Do we invest our words with such care and precision that we consider the effects that those words might have? When it comes to angry and hateful words coming out of the mouth of someone, it should make us all very nervous, and most of all when it comes from our own tongue. We should be extremely cautious, guarding our tongues as if it were a firearm ready to go off and shoot someone and hurt someone. The old saying that many of us learned as children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is false. It's not true. Many of us perhaps don't even realize words that have been spoken to us in our life that are still sticking in us like a knife, that are stuck right there, and they're affecting us and driving us to do certain things and driving us to see ourselves certain ways. Brothers and sisters, words are powerful. Your tongue is powerful, and it is an incredibly powerful weapon for destruction when you use it wrongly. Angry words are destructive. There's a reason in the Old Testament the death penalty was given to children who were flagrantly rebellious and who were cursing their parents. It was understood that this cursing, this verbal cursing, this lashing out, would have ultimately lead to physical violence. And we need to see that connection as well when we speak. So let's bring it all back to us. Where do you see anger in your life, and where do you see destructive words used in your life? These are important questions for us to answer because we cannot be ignorant of how we use our tongue. We cannot be ignorant of the hateful things that we do. Romans 8 tells us, if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you're going to live after the flesh, anger's fine, but the problem is you're going to die. You can leave it alone if you want to die. But instead, what we are to do is through the Spirit, we're to mortify, we're to put to death the sin. Like I said last time, there is one thing that I want you to be in the business of killing, and that is the sin itself. You need to put the spotlight on sin, hunt it down, execute it. And so we need to ask God's help to identify these things in our hearts. Sometimes we let anger and hatred rest in our hearts for certain people, certain kinds of people, perhaps certain people that have hurt us greatly, and we feel justified in that. We feel that it's okay. But hatred in the heart is not justified. Christ came to change all of that in us. Titus 3 says that in the past we all spent our days hating each other. We were hating one another, and this was our lives. It was a life filled with hate. But it says then that when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Christ came so that we could be forgiven, so that we could forgive others. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice all those words, all related to hatred, all related to anger. Instead, brothers and sisters, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we have been angry and hateful towards others. In the past, we have called our brothers or our sisters fools. We have hated others in our hearts. We ask that you would be merciful to us for Christ's sake, that you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, your word says that if we have passed from death into life, we will love the brothers. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us that evidence that we have passed from death to life because we do love the brothers. Grant us this love for others today, even when they wrong us, even when they mistreat us, as we look to Christ who, when he was wronged and when he was mistreated, did not revile in return. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.